This is Eric, the Portuguese Hammer Vieira from Guys in Short Sports Los Angeles and Corner of the Galaxy, and you're listening to the Seleção Podcast. Força!
Bem jogado por Simão, a passar por dois adversários, Simão, a tentar oferecer o gol a Figo, e a bola é gol! O golo da Figo!
Rui Costa vai, Rui Costa já acreditou, vai tirar para o golo, atira o golo!
And we welcome you to episode number 13 of the Seleção Podcast. I am your host, Danny Pinto. Thank you so much for tuning in and downloading our latest podcast, our latest episode, as we are previewing the matches, the UEFA Nations League matches versus Italy and Poland. We've been on a bit of a hiatus, and I'll explain that in just a moment. But we can't thank you guys enough for staying with us. And following us on our social media platforms as well. That's facebook.com/SeleçãoPod and also at SeleçãoPod on Twitter and Instagram. We have a packed show for you today. We have my buddy from down south from Southern California, Jimmy Ange. He will be helping us with the preview of the Italian and Polish matches coming up this weekend in the UEFA Nations League. And we'll also get to some of your social media responses as I put out a question prior to the episode. It was like a 3-4 part question. I like to make things complicated, so I apologize for that. But I love hearing multiple responses from all of you, and we'll get to that at the other side of the interview. So we are back. Just a brief note on the hiatus. So around October it was like the matches that were played against Poland and against Scotland. That I had so much going on there at that time. As we announced, I was taking my family to Disneyland. Again, these are not problems. Just timing was an issue for the podcast with how the matches lined up and me taking my family on vacation. But we had that, and then I was also under the weather around that time too, and I was trying to find a way where I could force either a preview or a review of the matches. And I was especially with the review, I was sitting at about a week and a half out from when the matches were played, and I just thought it was just too late to put something out. So I decided not to. I'm in good health now. We'll go ahead and say that I am, obviously, and we have the time. So I'm gonna obviously, we're obviously doing the preview episode here, and hope to have a review episode of the matches next week, in which we hopefully will be talking about a trip to the Final Four for our Nossa Seleção. Usually that trip to the Final Four, you here in the States, we're talking about college basketball, but it was just a nice roll off the tongue. Portugal is going to the Final Four, hopefully, and we'll talk about that on this episode and a review of everything next week. So we're not going anywhere. We are strong podcast wise, support wise. So we can't thank you guys enough for staying with us, and hopefully bigger and better things coming for the Seleção Podcast. Okay, so because we've been away for a little bit, I haven't really been able to give you guys my thoughts on what I've seen and what has taken place with this Seleção in about a month and a half or so. So let me just give you guys just a quick rundown of what my feelings are on the team, and then we will get to my interview with Jimmy Ange to preview everything for this weekend. But first off, I think this is a testament of two things. It's a testament to Fernand Sanch, who was questioned a lot for the World Cup. You know, a round of 16 exit was not what we were looking for. But what we have seen since then is just an introduction of players that we deemed, you know, the next wave of great Portuguese players. Some of those players have arrived, and I think we can say that confidently in these four matches since the World Cup, three wins and a draw. But it's been the manner in which some of these players have been playing with the high quality, some in dominant fashion, to be very honest. And João Cancelo comes to mind. I think that right back position, and with no disrespect to Cedric, because Cedric has been a soldier for the Seleção for the last few years, but João Cancelo is just he's our right back, and he will be our right back for the foreseeable future, and to me that is a very, very good thing. I've loved seeing Ruben Neves now. I mean, that is him and William, that is their midfield, and it's going to be their midfield for quite some time. Ruben Neves playing well with Wolves in the EPL, and just you could slowly start seeing the confidence and the skill that made him such a controversial omission, I guess. Why so many fans of the Seleção were wondering how in the heck did this guy not make the final 23 for Russia this summer? But Ruben Neves to me has been a guy who is just solidifying that he is one of the next in a great tradition of Portuguese players, specifically Portuguese midfielders. So in speaking of Ruben Neves and speaking of João Cancelo, these are guys that are finally getting their chance, that their moment has arrived. I also like the fact that some players are kind of getting a reprieve. They're getting a second chance, sometimes third, fourth chances. Guys like Pizzi, I think Pizzi's been playing great for the Seleção. I think he's been a surprise. In terms of how well he's been playing and how just he just seems like a good fit for what Fernand Sanch wants to do. Also, guys like Hafa to me is one of the, and I don't want to use the word tragic because there's so many other things in this world that are much more tragic than someone missing an opportunity in soccer. But if we all remember like the lead up to the European Championships in 2016. Hafa was starting a match versus England, and I believe it was in Wembley. And for whatever reason, Bruno Alves decided that it would be a good idea to try to, you know, karate kick Harry Kane on an aerial attack. It didn't hit Harry Kane, but long story short, Bruno Alves was given a red card in a friendly. Because Bruno Alves, that's what Bruno Alves is capable of. For all the good that he's done, he also has that in his bag of tricks. But the guy who, so Fernand Sanch had to make a shift in strategy and formation and attack. So you lose Bruno Alves to the red card, and then Hafa was subbed out in the match. And that was the last we really saw of him. Now, obviously, it worked out great for Portugal because obviously we know that we won the Euro and you know, St. Eder, St. Patrice, everybody, St. 23, to be quite honest. But Hafa was a guy who was in pretty decent form, and it was one of these, again, next generation, next man up type players for Portugal that we had been looking forward to seeing wearing the colors of the Seleção and seeing what he could do. So I'm really happy for a guy like that. Renato Sanches, and I know I've named three Benfica guys. I'm not I'm not saying that I'm not doing this on purpose. I'm just looking at my roster sheet. But it's guys like them, Beasy, Hanatsan, Hafa, who are also like these guys who are getting their second chance and taking advantage of it. And then you guys, and then guys like I mentioned before who haven't gotten their opportunity, who are making the most of it. It's guys like Ruben Neves, it's guys like Moncel, and Jimmy will talk about it a little bit about someone maybe not needing the call up or we've seen enough, but I will applaud Fernandes on these three call ups and recalls, I guess, to the selection. João Mário, José Font, and André Gomes. Now, a lot of people roll their eyes at André Gomes, and unfortunately, he picked up a knock after being named to the team. But he's been playing very, very well with Everton, and he, Fernandes knows who he has in André Gomes, just like he knows what he has in José Font and João Mário. But these guys have been playing well lately for their club. They have been part of the fabric of the success of the Seleção, especially in 2016. So while we all are so excited and thrilled with these next generation players, it's also good to me to have that stability and those guys that you can go to because you know what you have in them. And sometimes it's either they're picked either for locker room, they're picked for their skill level, all of the above. But I would say that Fernandes has done a pretty good job and has been pretty consistent since the World Cup in getting the roster to his liking. Of the three call ups so far, he's picked 18 players. For all three of the call-ups, so it's been consistent for the most part. I think that's like a percentage of about 18 out of 25 is roughly high 70s. So about in the high 70s, it's been the same players so far. A mix of young and old, a mix of new and veteran. But I think Fernandes is doing a good job with this roster thus far. And obviously we can't complain about it. It's 6 points out of 6 points, and we're doing it without the best player in the world. So I think it's a tip of the cap to Mister for his work so far. I'm talking to myself and to you guys, but as stacked as the midfield is, I don't know if guys like João Mário and André Gomes are going to make a huge difference with how the rest of the roster has been playing midfield wise, but I think a guy like José Font, it can't hurt because we still haven't figured out our center back position, other than knowing that Ruben Neves is one of the center backs of the future, and let's hope that Pep is timeless because him and Ruben Neves have been playing well together. So again, you can't complain about the results. To do this without Ronaldo has been a statement of what we can look forward to the future a little bit, not to get too ahead of ourselves, but we know that the depth of the Seleção is a pretty good indication of where we think we might be going into the future. Of course, with the exception of center back, and maybe as you'll listen a little bit here from our guest Jimmy Enge, goalkeeping might be an issue, and Jimmy will give his thoughts on that in just a few moments here. So, actually, you know what? We'll get to that interview right now. Jimmy Enge from Southern California, our first two-time guest. You know, this is where you start making the big bucks as a multiple appearance guy on the Seleção podcast. And let me preface it by saying that, I embrace yourselves, guys. Your host made a mistake. I know. We'll all get through it. We're all going to get through it. I told Jimmy that the games, the matches coming up for Italy and Poland, that they were Friday and Monday. They're actually Saturday and Tuesday. They are November 17th, which is a Saturday, and they are on November the 20th, which is a Tuesday. So my apologies, as you'll hear me correct Jimmy incorrectly. So my apologies to my guest who was correct on that. So, but yeah, other than that, hope you guys enjoy this interview. Our first two-time guest, Jimmy Ange from Southern California, from down in Artesia. He is our guest on episode 13 of the Slesong podcast. Okay, it is now time for the interview portion of the episode. It's episode 13. Thank you so much for everyone tuning in to the Slesong podcast. And this guy, you know, folks, listen, in the long history of this podcast, and we go back all the way to May of 2018, the one thing I will tell you is this, is that people have been saying, hey, who was the guy on the second episode? Who was the guy on the second episode? And I'm like, oh, that was my buddy Jimmy Ange. And he's like, well, that guy has to come back for episode 13. I said, you know what? I think that's a good number to bring him back at. So, Jimmy, it's episode 13, buddy. Thanks for coming back. What's up?
Damn. I think you just put me up there with Bandeira Negra right there, man.
I know you and I know how much that hurts you being a Sportingista, but...
No. We there's no lines there.
Absolutely.
When you're good.
Hallowed ground is hallowed ground, right?
Yes. How you doing, Danny?
Good, pal. How are you? How's you know what? For those of us actually, and this is actually something that Jimmy and I were not talking about in our pre-show meeting here, but Jimmy lives in the southern part of California, down in Artesia. If you guys recall, I actually live in the northern part of California, in the Sacramento area, and we both are in regions that have been impacted by wildfires, unfortunately. Jimmy down in Thousand Oaks and us up here in Paradise. But how is everything actually, like, air quality wise, control wise over there down in SoCal right now?
Oh, it's been crazy. I'll be honest with you. The first night that it kind of hit us, I knew it was we have what's called. It's kind of goes in opposite ways. Our winds here, instead of going from offshore towards the inland, we have what's called the Santa Ana winds down here, and they kind of go the opposite way. And when those things pick up this time of year, and being how dry it is out here, it's nasty. And it's been pretty sad. And I was up Thursday night getting ready for a wedding that was for a very close friend of mine, someone that I hold very dear to my heart, for his daughter. And just sitting there watching and thinking, she's getting married in Malibu. This is her dream location. Just, you know, a weekend full of many emotions. And the wedding, literally, as if, you know, this family hasn't dealt with enough this past year.
Sure.
You know, we don't really need to drop any names here because they've already had a lot to deal with. But it literally, from one day to the next, one morning, you wake up and you find out that your dream location for your wedding has been canceled the fires. So we had the community scrambled, and amazingly, this girl was able to put together and relocate her wing in 12 hours. So we went from one side of Southern California to the other, celebrate this wonderful family, these wonderful friends. But at the same time, you know, as if our hearts weren't heavy enough with their current situation, just thinking about all these families that were displaced. And in Northern California, it's even worse. And not to get political here.
Uh-oh.
Maybe I will get political here. Here it is. I'm dropping it. And, you know, you're up all night thinking about them, and then you get a tweet with very little sentimental value about how these fires are only happening because of, you know, a certain something. And I don't know, man, it just floored me. If we could all just be nice to each other and not look at lines, just like I just did with, you know, Sporting and Benfica thing. Yeah. This world would be a great place. So yeah, we're hanging in there. We digressed quite a bit right there.
No worries.
But it's, you know, there's a lot more soccer kind of intertwines and interweaves with our own personal lives, and that's a great example of it. Eric Winalda, for those of us who follow American soccer,
sure,
he was also affected by this. A couple other TV analysts as well. So
yeah, I believe Winalda's house actually was lost in the fire.
Yes.
I believe. Yeah, that's so.
Yeah, up here hasn't been easy either. Now, Thousand Oaks, how far is that from Artesia?
Well, what measurement do you want? Do you want miles or do you want driving traffic?
How about miles or you know, let's see. Yeah, because, you know, it could be 2 miles down there, but it could take you, you know, 6 hours to get
26 miles gets us to Malibu, which is where a lot of these fires were. And Thousand Oaks is also the same city that had the, you know, that horrible terrorist act, basically, yes, at that nightclub. So they got a double whammy there. You're looking, depending on the day and the time, about an hour and a half or so. But you look up and you can see the fires during the day, the smoke at night, or the opposite of that. But you know what I mean? It's been crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's a great season for bloody noses and allergies.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah, up here, it's a Paradise, California, ironically named. It has been anything but the city has been... The town's been pretty much just vanquished with fires and properties lost and unfortunately lives lost. And I'll put out a link to how you guys can help those listening, how you guys can help the recovery and the relief efforts and stuff like that after the episode posts. And say a little prayer for say a prayer for everybody, but especially coming up on the holidays. People have lost their homes, their memories, pictures and stuff like that, and some unfortunately have lost their lives. So just say a little prayer for everybody involved, and especially those who are trying to help and trying to save them. First responders are some of the best people we have in the world. So, Jimmy, this was about soccer, though, right? All right. So how about soccer? How about that? Let's because you have the ball.
Absolutely.
So Portugal coming up on the final weekend of UEFA Nations League play, and it's their only weekend that they actually have two games on the weekend,
and on a Saturday that we can actually watch. Isn't that amazing?
Is it on a Saturday or is it on a Friday?
I believe it's a Saturday.
You know what? I thought it was a Friday Monday deal. Is it a Saturday? Damn. Yeah, I think it's a Friday Monday. Okay. Unfortunately, but
wow, and I thought I did my homework.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why we waited 11 episodes to bring it back, man.
Out the window, boom.
But you know, they've had two matches so far. It's been bookended by either a friendly in the beginning, and then the Nations League game, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. But this is the first weekend and only weekend they'll have two Nations League games. First of all, what's your thought so far on this UEFA Nations League, and what have you thought about Portugal's play so far in their first two matches?
In terms of the Nations League, I think it's great. Depending on where you kind of stand on things, I guarantee you a lot of these national teams are probably not thinking so great of it in terms of dollar signs. A lot of times Portugal is traveling out to a third venue, so to speak, and you know, that's the federation making their money and coming up. I'm sure that they're getting something off of this Nations League, but it's not as much as, you know, having 10 meaningless friendlies at Wembley and in Belgium and everywhere else. But it definitely is nice to raise the bar a little bit with this competition when these matches actually mean something. And you're seeing, you know, we're not seeing a, you know, 2-0 game with nothing to be excited about. These games have been pretty good, even with the scores sometimes not being so high. So, yeah, I mean, ideally, if the rest of the world could follow this model, I think it'd be great. That way you wouldn't see, you know, L3 playing in the U.S. for 10 out of their 12 friendlies during the year, and in Argentina playing in Brazil, everywhere throughout the world, but in front of their own home fans. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I do like it. I think the only issue down the road is obviously almost every other issue in the world, money. Sure. That'll be interesting to see.
What have you thought of the squads that Fernando Santos has called up? In the this is now the third time that he's called up a squad for our post World Cup. What have you thought of the squads that he's selected? And who's impressed you? Who hasn't? Kind of give us a little rundown of what you've seen so far since the World Cup.
Yes. Okay. I'm Portuguese, and you know very well I love my culture, my people. Yes, although I don't look the part.
Round of applause. Round of applause.
Yes,
love that. He's Portuguese.
Absolutely. Yep. but I don't do Mursola. But anyways.
Neither do I.
Yes. No, thank you. I'm saying that because Ronaldo is the best player in the world, bigger, stronger, faster than everyone else, amazing records he set. I have always thought that in terms of ball circulation and movement, Portugal has a better style of play without Ronaldo.
Ooh.
Granted, when they have all these other pieces in play, my own personal opinion, when push comes to shove and these guys have the freedom to play at their own style, which sometimes clashes with when you have the best player on the field. And I've played in similar situations. I remember playing with great player with all kinds of accolades, but it just
Eric
didn't really
Vieira.
Gel with the team, but we got results. There we go. The hammer.
Yeah, the hammer. Yes. Michael Teixeira. Yeah, all these guys better than you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just kidding, dude.
No, it's all right. My feelings are hurt, but it's okay. No, but I do like the way they're playing, man. And it's giving all these other guys a chance to step up to the plate and not have to worry about, you know, making that one mistake or playing that one bad ball. Although he's a great teammate, I just think it's a different style of play where the ball circulates a little bit better and there's a more definite style. In terms of the call-ups, since I took 2 minutes to explain how I love Ronaldo, but I don't like always seeing him play.
Sure.
there's something that's bothered me, and it's bothered me with Portugal. And the U.S. national team continually did it for the last decade or so. Rui Patrício is 30 years old. Bet is like 36. He's always been the third string goalkeeper. He's now basically the second string goalkeeper. With a 30-year-old goalkeeper as your starter, your veteran, why after 10, 12, 15 years do you have to call in Bet, who's 36? Claudio Ramos got called up, who's a great player. José Sá comes to mind, who was another very good goalkeeper. And there's plenty out there. Why must you continually call up these 30-something backups? That doesn't make sense to me. It's like Brad Guzan's been on the national team for the last 15, 20 years in the U.S. For what? You know, and then all of a sudden you have this big hole from, you know, 20 years, 2 decades, and there's just it's just a weird spot. Does he play okay? Yeah. But those are quality minutes that other guys could have had, you know, 10 years ago, basically. So I thought that continues to be a weird call-up. And I know that a lot of it probably has to do with locker room stuff. But I'm curious to see how what's in store with Claudio Ramos and our French-Portuguese guy there playing in France as well. Off the top of my head, I can't think of his name right now.
But those are the guys Anthony Lopes?
Anthony Lopes, there you go, yes. Yeah. Those are the guys I would like to continually see there to where, you know, as nice as a guy as he is, and a Sporting fan, it would have been nice to see kind of Betts slowly pushed to the side. So there's my first Tadeusz, my little Lansing Brunk with this roster call-up. Yes, don't shed a tear there. And the other one, if you look at our center backs, what a trip, man. You have one guy who got his heart broken by his own club, didn't get called up, and then you go right to the middle and you have Net, Zerflont, and Pep, who's sitting on suspension. But you have those guys who have continually been called in also. And again, there's a big hole there. There's a big hole there. And when I talked about getting heartbroken, you hear about the story with Daniel Carris?
I did not. Enlighten me, please.
Yeah, so basically Sevilla messed up and tweeted that Daniel Carris got called up for this round of games with the national team. He's been playing well. Sevilla is obviously playing well, but he didn't get called up. Something must have happened there. So he basically bit of a tease there. Yeah. And he's another guy that has been rumored to come back to Sporting, which could be interesting down the road here. He's a diehard. That guy flew in during the elections to go cast his ballot in these last series of votes. So I don't know. It could be interesting there. Dude, and then looking at our midfield, what else can you do? All these guys are doing pretty well, and you kind of feel bad for André Gomes, who picked up another knock. But, hey, man, that's part of life. I'm glad to see he looks like he's happy now. And then going back to defense situation, look who's slowly getting healthy again. Let's see if his hamstrings hold up. Do you want a drum roll there, Daniel?
I'll hit the drum roll. Hold on.
All right.
Go ahead.
RG3. Rafael Guerreiro.
That guy.
Finding his form again, man. Let's see what comes of this.
He got lambasted by yours truly a lot during the summer. and I think rightfully so, because I think it's a combination of both him and Fernand Sanch not really being honest with each other. But if he's going to come back and play anywhere near the form he played in France in 2016, then we have ourselves a nice problem to have, because and one of the guys that I've enjoyed seeing thus far, not setting the world on fire with his play, but I think he's been pretty solid, has been Mario Hui at left back. So if we can have that 1-2 punch, and a legit 1-2 punch on the left side, I mean, the right side is just an embarrassment of riches at the right back position for Portugal right now. And that's obviously led by João Cancel. He's playing on arguably the best club team in the world going right now, and he's playing some of his some of the best right back football for a player for this Les Song in quite a long time. It might be overstating it a bit, but I just think that position.
When I saw the Confocados, I looked down the roster, right back, I don't even worry about. I'm like, you know what? They got that covered. Why am I going to sit here and stress out about that one? Because, you know, they're solid there. Cedric, you know you're exactly what you're going to get with him. You have João Cancel. Smith is obviously not in form, but it's never an issue there. There's always one guy coming up. There's basically a winger that we can turn into a right back at any point in time.
And
so we're good.
And with no mention of Ricardo Pereira, who's playing very well at Leicester.
Yes.
You know, so that part, I mean, so in terms of newcomers or guys who have been playing well, I find him, João Cancel, as just, I mean, I would say there are maybe two or three positions on this team that are locked down, or players that are locked into the starting 11, and João Cancel, for me, hands down, is one of those players.
Yeah, the Mr. Gatekeeper there, Mr. or Gate Maker. You got to remember, you still have Dalot over there that Mourinho's keeping under wraps. Who knows what's going on there?
Oh, sure.
But you got a couple other guys waiting in the wings, too. So it'll be nice to see what happens. We got to figure something out at center back. So,
yeah, we're,
interesting.
We're talking with my buddy Jimmy Enns down from Southern California here on episode 13. Of the Selecion podcast. I am your host, Danny Pinto. We are previewing the UEFA Nations League matchups against or versus Italy and Poland. Jimmy, you mentioned Bet, obviously a guy in his mid to late 30s now, who has, you know, he's seen his career with the Selecion pretty much come and go. He's, you know, he's still being called up. Credit to him for keeping himself in the form that he has. But have there been some call-ups since the World Cup for these Nations League games and these friendlies that you're kind of scratching your head saying, why is he still getting the call-up, or why haven't we moved on from him yet?
In reference to Bet, absolutely. With the rest of the squad, I think Fernando Sanchez is doing a pretty good job of calling in a lot of these guys who are in form.
Yeah, me too.
And are showing what they're doing in these leagues. Of course, there's always going to be, you know, hey, this guy's playing well, why hasn't he been called up? A lot of times there's issues with familiarity too, and that might be the argument with this goalkeeper here. But, you know, that plays its part as well. So, like I said, and I'll continue to say, ultimately they see what goes on at those practices and whatnot and how these players respond. And chemistry is huge, especially with two or three days to work. So I don't know. Looks pretty good to me right there.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really argue with 6 points in two matches with these group matches so far, especially going to Poland, getting the victory there, taking care of business at home against Italy. You know, you're putting yourself in position to make that Poland game not needed to get to the final four. Next summer of the UEFA Nations League semifinals. Let's get away from Bernard Silva, because he has clearly been the star since the World Cup ended for this Selecion. Of the call-ups of the guys who maybe even should have been called up for the World Cup this past summer, guys like Ruben Neves, you see a reemergence of Renat Sanch, You see a guy like Bruma getting some quality time on the Celeste song and on the field. Which of those guys, and if there's any other, by all means, mention them as well. Who have you been really happy seeing play for the Celeste song, and that you've been really happy with their quality playing for Portugal?
Here's one that's completely out of left field. What the hell is William doing so far up the field and successfully? That one caught me off guard. A couple games now, and he looks as smooth as ever. You don't even hear people talking about how slow he is or he has a piano on his back. kind of a weird spot for him, but man, he just figures out a way to make it work. And so suave, you know. Again, people always complained about how slow he was, but no one really complained about how slow Pirlo was and how smooth he was, and that guy had himself a great career. William's been one of my biggest surprises in that more advanced role. And Bruma, that guy factors in every single time he plays. He figures out a way to get involved. The biggest surprise for me right now in terms of league play is André Silva. That's been very impressive to me.
Sure.
What he's been able to do out there and kind of find himself. So with the whole bunch of these young guns running, should be interesting to see what he does in a tactical game with Italy coming up.
Yeah, it's amazing what a change of scenery can do for someone's career. And well, he had the hat trick, I think, opening weekend or his first game with his new club team in Spain, and then all of a sudden, you know, he had that was as many goals as he had his entire year with AC. So it's it's crazy. We're talking with Jimmy Enge here on episode 13 of the Celeste Song podcast. Jimmy, you know, so we talked about Ronaldo earlier in the interview here, and obviously, you know, they're playing well. They got the 6 points. They're doing everything that they have that they could possibly have done with Ronaldo on the field. 6 points with him or 6 points without him is 6 points. Are we making too much, do you think, of their success without him, or is this just a good sign for the future of Celeste Song football?
Oh, absolutely not. You were talking about possibly the greatest soccer player ever. If not, I mean, he's up there on that Mount Rushmore. He always will be. That's not even an issue. And let's look back at our past. I mean, there was an era there where Rui Costa stepped aside and Luis Figo stepped aside and a whole bunch of others, too, after the fiasco at the Euro and the World Cup. I don't remember exactly which one it was right now off the top of my head. The guy is in tremendous shape. He's got, you know, all kinds of stuff going on with the accusations, the change of scenery, his family. He's flying to Morocco and to England and all back and forth, left and right, to Madeira. He's going to be just fine, you know. And if anybody can pull off being away and doing all these things, it's him. Will he be here when we need him? Yes. But what it does in the meantime, it gives all these other guys a chance to show that, you know, we're not a one-person team and that, you know, we can get things done and develop our own style of play. That isn't the same, but it's just as effective. Now, in big games, big tournaments, you need guys like that. And up until now, we've had some really good players, but, you know, the great ones step up and show themselves. And he has that, you know. And up until now, no one else really does on this roster.
Finally, Jimmy, obviously Portugal sits in a great spot. They have 6 points out of six in their first two matches in the Nations League. A game in hand on both of the teams in their group, and they can wrap up the group play, and they can wrap up the group, I should say, with a result in Italy. Do you think they get the result in Italy, or do you think they leave it to getting a result back home? I believe they play in Guimarães. I think
Alfonso. Aqui no Rio, Portugal. Yeah. Yes.
So do you think they leave? Do you think they leave it for that match in Poland, or do you think they can get the result in Italy and make that that Polish game not needed?
In terms of getting a result, I really don't know if they'll pull one off at the San Siro. I'm hoping for a tie. I don't think they'll win, especially with, you know, how bland that game could possibly be. But leaving it to, I think we'll pull it off. But if not, I don't know, man. Those fans up there, that can get rowdy real quick. They're known as, you know, being some of the rowdiest in all of Portugal and throwing it down when need be. So, no, hopefully we get this point, this needed point at the San Siro. Maybe Andres Silva can, you know, get a little payback going. And get
wouldn't that be great?
Absolutely, yes. Because I know they all love him there and how much they paid for him. How it, no, that'd be great. But let's hope for a tie and get a win. And that's kind of how I'm looking at it, which is pretty much my strategy during the last World Cup with the Spain game. You know, I'm sure everyone's keeping track because they recorded that at the same moment that I said that. Yes. No, but I really think in Italy we're going with the tie. Yeah, it'll be a good day. And if it's sounding like it's on Friday now, that means I got a half day at work and I can finally sit down and enjoy a game.
A nice long lunch.
Yes, with maybe even swinging by and getting a little Superbock mini. That'd be ideal.
Look at this guy. This guy knows what he's doing. This is why he was brought back, folks, because Jimmy Inch knows how to watch a Slesong football game. Almost as good as anyone that I know. So, Jimmy, all the best to you guys down in Southern California, and thank you so much again for joining us on episode 13. And you know, man, a casa está sempre às ordens. Anytime you want to come back on, right?
Mine too. We got Paulinho Vinho sobre a mesa. Don't forget.
And my thanks once again to Jimmy Inch for joining us on episode 13 of the Slesong Podcast. He is now a 2-time guest of the Slesong Podcast, a rare feat. No one walking God's green earth can say that they are a 2-time guest of this show except for Jimmy. So, Jimmy, you are very welcome for that distinction. All right. Let's go over now to our social media responses from the week. So the question that I had put out prior to the episode was just to get your thoughts on the call-ups for the upcoming matches against Italy and Poland, as well as the call-ups overall, what you have thought about the play of the Slesong since the World Cup, who has impressed you, who's disappointed you since the World Cup, and is the absence of Ronaldo is it concerning at all since we haven't seen Unos Capitão play since World Cup 2018. So let's go to Facebook first. We go to facebook.com/SlesongPod. That's where you can follow us there, like our page, get all your information there. We go first to Braga. So let's say hello to our friend Nuno Airosa from Braga. And he writes, how is it possible we haven't got a better defender than José Font? Are we going back to the 2014 team? You know, center back is definitely a concern there, Noon, but we appreciate your response and you listening and following us on Facebook. And former guest Mark Anthony Souza, he writes, we have some young defenders, but there is a gap between young and old for this team. So not real positive coming from Facebook. So let's see if we can't get it going in a positive note on Twitter. Another former guest, Huy Miguel Martins. And again, you can follow us on Twitter at Slesong Pod. You can follow Huy Miguel Martins at Football Factory. He says, I think it's still too early to tell whether Portugal is better without Ronaldo. Also, these matches are more about combinations and spots, especially at center back and up front. I totally agree with him there. Let's get real international. We've been to Portugal in Braga. Let's go to Bangladesh, and I'm Mr. Ahmed. I'm going to butcher your first name here, so I do apologize. Is it? He can't respond to me right now, but hopefully he will when he hears this. I think it's Shoaib Ahmed, and Mr. Ahmed says in terms of the squad, it's been terrific. Most players are in form. One draw and 3 wins since the World Cup. With multiple standout performers in all 4 games. He wishes to see Andre Horta, Jota, and new center backs called up. In terms of players whose time is up, he says nobody's time is up in Portugal. So pretty much he's saying that if you're in form and you can contribute, you pretty much are a go for Fernand Sanchez and the Slesong. He thinks that in the last part of the question that I sent out is does Portugal qualify for the final four versus Italy or versus Poland? And he thinks that we will qualify whether it's a win or a draw upcoming on Saturday. And I can't stress that enough. Saturday is the match, and I know I corrected myself prior to the interview. I'll do so again here. Saturday versus Italy, Tuesday versus Poland. He thinks we'll get the result in Italy. Let's go now to Alex Gonsalves. You can follow Alex, A-L-J-E-E-V-E-S 1-0, so Al Jeeves 10. And he's also the creator of a nice Twitter account, good for us Tuga fans, us fans of the Selecao, at Tuga Scout PT. That's TugaScoutPT. He says he really likes the squad. Good to see Fransunch reward form. He mentions here Josef Font and João Mário. Concel has been terrific since missing out on the World Cup squad. He still feels that there's a place for Moutinho. And he deserves, João Moutinho deserves a comeback. The absence of CR7 has been no concern, as it's good opportunities for others. And he thinks that we will qualify for the Final Four versus Italy as well. To our buddy Johnny C from back east, he says he likes the call-ups. Concel and Bernard have been great. Would love to see Cristiano Ronaldo back, especially with the way the team has been playing. They'd be really tough to beat. And he also thinks that we'll get the job done in Italy. And now a guy, I don't know if you guys have heard of this guy, Tom Kundert. He has this little up-and-coming website for us Selecao fans. You may have heard of it. It's Portugal.net. But Tom's been such a staunch supporter of our podcast. We really, really appreciate him chiming in here on the podcast question for the week. He says the call-ups were spot on. Concel and Bernard have been brilliant. He would like to see Quaresma still be involved, and I don't disagree at all. He got a new life, a new lease on his Selecao career with qualifying and through the World Cup. I thought he was very good with the Selecao, so maybe he still has some tread left on those tires, and I'd love to see us get absolutely every last drop of Ricardo Quaresma in a Selecao shirt that we possibly can. So I agree with Tom there with regarding Quaresma. In terms of the absence of CR7 being concerning, he says no, it's giving others a chance to shine. He thinks that we'll also qualify against Italy, and he thinks it'll be a 1-1 draw. So those are your responses from social media. Again, follow us on facebook.com/SelecaoPod, like our page there, also on Twitter and on Instagram at SelecaoPod. You can also email the show at SelecaoPod if you ever have any ideas or just want to reach out to us in that fashion. So I can't thank you guys enough for reaching out and making sure that your voices are heard via social media and being part of this Selecao podcast, because this Selecao podcast is not only my passion project, but it is to give you guys a platform to have your voices heard and have your thoughts heard as well. I do want to tease a tease, and I'm going to be a little cryptic here without giving you guys much information, but we're hoping to announce something pretty big in the next few episodes, something that I'm very, very excited about, something I'm very, very proud of. But I'll just leave you with that. But I think it, whenever we do announce it, I think it's going to be something that is just, a huge, huge plus, for not only this, this podcast, but the reach that this podcast can have. And I will just, I will leave it at that, but, really excited to hopefully announce that, sometime soon. Before we get out of here, as I mentioned in the interview, with Jimmy Ange, and again, thank you, Jimmy, for joining us on this episode. California has been hit hard with wildfires, both in the southern region and in the and in Northern California. You know, Jimmy mentioned down where he lives, it's about an hour and a half away. It's only about 30 miles away. You know, due to the traffic, it takes them a little bit more than us normal folks up here, but. But the communities of Thousand Oaks and Malibu and so many other places down in Southern California, and then where I live in the Sacramento area in Northern California, we're about 2 hours, 2.5 hours away from the town of Paradise, which, again, as I mentioned, is ironically named in this situation because that town, for the most part, is gone. It has burned down, and unfortunately, in both areas, we've had losses of homes, we've had losses of materials, we've had losses of, fortunately, the greatest tragedy of all is loss of life. And if there's anything you guys can do out there listening, wherever you're listening to, donations and if you got old clothes, if you got new things that, you know, toys that your kids are done playing with, because, you know, these are families that are being displaced and they have to start all over. A good place to check out how you can help is the American Red Cross. I'll put up a link on our social media platforms to wherever you're at, whatever you can do, whether you're living in Southern California or living in Northern California, and we have a lot of listeners, but more importantly, we have a lot of friends who live in those regions of California who some have been impacted by this directly. So whatever you can do, take a little time out and if you can donate either monetarily or with some goods, I know that they would greatly, greatly appreciate it, especially this time of year where here in the States we're coming up on the holidays with Thanksgiving, and then all of us next month with Christmas and the New Year. So if anything you guys can do, again, redcross.org. And we'll put the link up on our social media. So that will do it for the Slesson podcast, episode number 13. We've previewed what we hope to be a successful round of games for the Slesson as they take on Italy on Saturday, November 17th, and Poland on Tuesday, November the 20th. A result in either one of those games puts us in the final four of the UEFA Nations League, the inaugural UEFA Nations League. And I got to be honest with you guys, I didn't know what the UEFA Nations League was at the beginning of this whole thing, but I sure would like to win the first one. I'd like to win that first one, and we could put ourselves in position to do that with a result in either game this weekend. So we appreciate you guys listening. Again, follow us on Twitter and on Instagram, at SlessonPod, and also like our Facebook page, facebook.com/SlessonPod. My name is Danny Pinto. Thank you so much for joining us, and
Força Portugal!